أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Dear sisters and brothers, it's such a delight to be back here at Seekers Hub, to be spending this blessed night and this blessed month with you. The fruits of this month are being felt in our lives, I hope, and I pray for us. Subhanallah. One of the things I just want to begin with before we delve into this topic is to remember that as blessed as this month is and as blessed as this night is, remember that the most sacred thing of creation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not any day or any time or any place, but it is the human being. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught his companions this. One day he was riding into Mecca for the Hajj, and he asked his companion, "Do you know what day is this?" And the Sahabi, he thought maybe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to name it a different day. And he said, Allah and his Messenger know best. He said, "Isn't this the day of Nahr, the day of the slaughter of the animals?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "What month is this?" He knew what month it was, but he thought maybe the Prophet Muhammad was going to say it's a different kind of month. No, it's the beautiful month of the pilgrimage. And what place is this? It is the sacred city of Mecca. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, out of all of these things, the sacredness, the inviolability of the believer is more than all of these things. How much do we hold in our hearts this reverence for the month of Ramadan, for the month of Dhul-Hijjah, for the Hajj, for Mecca and Medina? How much love do we have in our hearts? And we believe that they're so special and so sacred. Yet each believer is more special and more sacred and has a right to be protected and defended and cared for even more than all of those sacred times and places. May Allah guide us to behave that way, to give the same and even more reverence and care and respect and love and compassion to each other than we do to these very important parts of our faith. Today, when I'm speaking about the fruits of faith, we're talking about iman and not necessarily religious identity. And it's so important that we understand this distinction. Because many people will say, and as we talk about the fruits of iman, the fruits of faith, many people will say, well, if there are all of these beautiful faiths, why do we see that Muslims are hurting each other? That there are Muslims, not all, but there are some Muslims who are behaving in ways that are not beautiful, that are not creating beauty in the world, but are creating ugliness, that are not living a life full of love and compassion, but a life full of aggression. But faith and good deeds, they're related, but they're not the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humanity in the best of molds, ahsani taqweem, the very best shape. But we will go down if it is not for, except for those who have faith, wa'amilu salihat, those who have faith and who do good deeds. They're related, but they're not the same. And it's so important that we understand this because, you know, this is not going to be a discussion of how many obligatory deeds or good deeds a person has to leave behind before they come very close to leaving faith. This is a long discussion. It's It's contentious, and it's not our topic tonight. What we should know is that we leave the judgment of faith, the faith of any believer, up to Allah alone. This is not the place for our judgment. We are not the people who can do that. We do not know the state of anyone's heart. Indeed, it's difficult for us to even know the state of our own heart. So how could we judge the state of anyone else's heart? And when we see people who claim to have faith, who claim they are believers, yet are engaging in actions that are harmful to themselves or others, what is our response at this point? We have to know that there are so many people who have been hurt in this life and who have developed harmful habits in order to survive a brutal environment in which they live, and have developed behaviors that are deceptive or harmful or not reliable, not trustworthy, to anesthetize their pain and to find some way to survive. So when it comes to such people, our job is not judgment, but to help change the oppressive circumstances in which they live, to support them in rehabilitation, their physical, mental, and spiritual rehabilitation, so that they can realize their God-given potential. And we have hope for that. And alhamdulillah, we have organizations like Nasiha Helpline who are working on providing this support and help. So what do we do when we see those who are believers, yet their action and their deeds are harmful to themselves and others, and we feel, you know, are there any fruits of their faith? Where are the fruits of their faith? Again, it's not for us to judge, it's for us to run to their assistance, to change this oppressive circumstances in which so many people live. And alhamdulillah, we should really give all of our thanks, our support, financial, our prayers, and our assistance if possible to the brothers and sisters at Nasiha Helpline who are doing this this fine work. But when we see those who are engaged in actions that are harmful to themselves or others, our faith is the thing that gives us hope. Because our faith tells us that we have been created whole and not broken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as beings who are receptive to both Allah and to what Allah sets as good. We know that we have the potential, the innate potential, to connect with God and to connect with what God has determined is good. And that when we do that, we will start to feel good. We'll start to feel like we're coming home, back to our original place of love and compassion and security, that place in which we were created in the presence of our Creator. The most important connection between faith and actions is that faith makes us believe that complying with the actions that Allah tells us to do and to avoid the actions that Allah tells us not to do is in our own interests. Doing so will allow us to realize and strengthen our physical, mental, spiritual, and social capacities for our own good and for the good of others. This is perhaps the most beautiful thing that we can know about ourselves, which is that Allah has created us good and wants us to be good, and that He has given us collectively the capacities to continually repent and reform and renew and restore our physical, our spiritual selves. Now, some might ask, are you saying then that a person who is despairing is a person without faith? What is the relationship between faith and despair if our faith should give us hope? And here it's so important, and I'm spending some time on this tonight because of so much of the news that we hear about the state of people, the psychological state, the emotional state, the spiritual state of so many people today, people who are really suffering. And I want to make sure that we understand there's a big distinction between someone who philosophically believes that life has no meaning. They've made a decision that life has no meaning. It's a philosophical position, so their despair is an intellectual choice. There's a distinction between that as a worldview, as a philosophy, and the state of depression, which is a mental illness. Okay? So these are two very different things. A person can have faith and be depressed. A person can have faith and have a sense of despair as an emotional state, as a psychological state, because these are different than a spiritual state. Depression is not a spiritual disorder. It's an illness, and like other illnesses, a person who is in this situation needs support and resources to heal. And the true spiritual test of depression and despair is for us, those of us who are mentally well, or relatively mentally well, to not leave those who are depressed and despairing alone. So the real test is for us, because we are capable, we are still capable of acting in a way to help improve the situation, whereas someone who is in a deep situation and state of depression may be unable to reach out and to help. So the true test in this situation is for us, not for the depressed person. Faith, someone wrote that it's so important to remember that faith is not a feeling. Okay? Faith is simply believing that God will do what he said. Okay? Even when it doesn't feel like that. And so there may be times when we feel that we're not benefiting or getting the fruits of our faith, but we know that Allah is true to Allah's word. We have that knowledge, even if our feeling is still one of incapacity or sadness. And we can understand this distinction if we look at the lives of some of the prophets, Allah's chosen prophets, when they were going through hard times. If we look at the father of Joseph, Sayyidina Jacob, Ayub, or Yaqub, who faced with the loss of his son, or the apparent loss of one son, and then the apparent loss of another son, and the betrayal by the majority of his sons, because he knew that something was going on, who was so sad and distressed, that his weeping made it impossible for him to even see anymore. And his own sons, the ones who had deceived him, said, criticized him and scolded him and said, "By God, you're never going to stop thinking about Yusuf until your body and your spirit are broken or dead." So imagine what kind of state he seemed to be in. But in all of this, in all of this feeling that he had, what did he say? "Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah wa alamu min Allaha ma la ta'lamun." I complain to Allah only of my sadness and my grief, but I know something about God that you don't know. That's faith. It's that knowledge that Allah is true to Allah's word, and that in the end it will all turn out okay, even in the midst of sadness. And we think of the prophet Ayub, Sayyidina Job, that when he was suffering, he described himself as being afflicted by Satan with weariness and suffering. His state was an intense emotional state, emotional distress. Yet at the same time, he had faith that it was all going according to God's plan. How, why, what it would turn out to be, he didn't know. He only had the knowledge that Allah gave him. But faith meant that he knew and believed that all of this in some way would come out good, even though his emotional state, his feeling was one of sadness and despair. And when Sayyidina Maryam, subhanAllah, the perfect woman, a human being who is a model for all of us, in her state of physical suffering when she's giving birth, and I'm sure there was an element of emotional suffering as well at the same time, because she knew what people thought of her, that they didn't understand her situation, and it was overwhelming being in this situation that, you know, no one else had been in before. Here she was, the mother of a child giving birth, and she had never been with a man, and this came from Allah, and what did this mean for her life? So physical, but also some emotional suffering, saying, and in the midst of that, saying, I wish I had died before this or never had been born. Had been a thing not even mentioned and forgotten. I mean, what a strong statement of emotional suffering. Yet, she still had her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Hajar, who desperate, looking for some way for her and her son to survive in the desert, in this overwhelming situation, this distressing situation, we hear our child cry for a few seconds and we want to run and relieve them. Her child is starting to suffer from being in the hot desert, and she's the one, you know, who has to figure out a way to save him. But she knew there was an answer because she trusted in Allah. When she asked her husband, Sayyidina Ibrahim, is this from you or is this from Allah? And when he said, alayhi salam, this is from Allah, she said, then he will not abandon us. She believed that, even though she couldn't see a way out, running back and forth. Why'd she run to the tops of those mountains? Because that's the highest place where she could look and see, is someone coming? A caravan, some people with water. But subhanAllah, her salvation wasn't from other people. It was from a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the earth and brought this water which we drink until today. So these two great men and these two great women, they show us that we can be in a state of emotional distress, a state of suffering, yet still have faith. Faith is that knowledge and knowledge that what Allah said is true, that this is His universe, that everything created is under His command, and that He will be true to His word. And that is what faith is. And that's the test of faith. You know, when people talk about being tested, the test of faith is not to be, you know, to act as if nothing's wrong. And this is a real problem, actually, when some people think that that's what having faith means. Because then they might not share with people the difficulties that they're having, the emotional difficulties, and that they need support. No, to say that you're struggling and suffering does not mean you don't have faith at all. And we also, you know, sometimes we see people struggling and suffering, we say, oh, we have this throwaway kind of line, oh, be patient, it's just a test. You know, simple, easy for you to say, right, when there's someone who's suffering. That's not, you know, we're not there to give cheap advice, which is really what that is. Our job is to be with them, be present with them, even when we cannot relieve their suffering, but we have to try to find a way to help them, and not to give them some kind of like cheap advice about faith. No, they have faith, but still they're suffering. And so what do? Be with them, be present with them, like the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was as we are sometimes when we see the people in the world who are suffering, we feel incapacitated. We feel overwhelmed. What can I do? What can I do for those people? I hear that they're suffering. What can I do? The Blessed Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in that state when he saw the beautiful Sumayya and the beautiful Yasir and the beautiful Ahmad being tortured in front of his eyes, and he had no means at that point to intervene and stop this. He couldn't stop their suffering. And what would it look like to suffer, to be tortured to death and killed? How terrible and traumatizing to Ahmad, who was able to leave that situation, who, you know, was finally freed from that situation, but psychological and emotional trauma of the situation. The Prophet Muhammad SAW too, you know, was incapacitated as we are very often to change the situation or to stop the oppression, yet he remained present with them, praying for them. So when he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Patience, O family of Yasir, verily paradise is yours," this was his prayer for them and his reminder of what they knew as people of faith and his commitment to remaining with them present, even though he couldn't change the situation, even though he couldn't change the circumstances, to stay with them, even to witness this and to say this prayer. So this is what faith is, to carry us through these difficult times. So faith is not a feeling. It is not a feeling, but knowledge that Allah has created us and has given us solid sources of guidance, direction, and discipline. Our faith, through this guidance, connects us through revelation to other people, to communities, to practices, to goals, and to priorities that allow and direct our growth, our spiritual growth. What do we believe in? We believe in Allah and the messengers and the books and the angels and the day of judgment and Qadr, the destiny, that all of this is under command. This is what our faith is composed of. And all of these things then connect us and direct us and give us a way forward. We have to, in order to hold fast to this faith, we need to understand each pillar of faith and how to connect it. What does it mean to, we believe in Allah, so what does that mean? It means we truly know and understand that we are in Allah's world. You know, if we think about that, you know, and this is the most important shift in perspective that we can make. Because if we walk through this world like, this world is a playground for us, a place where we can go and try to get as much good stuff out of it as we can, fun, enjoyable, accumulate things. This is one way of looking at the world. And if that is how we look at the world, we will never be satisfied, because there will always be things that we can't get. There will always be things beyond us. There will always be those people who are wealthier, who have more children, who have more happy homes, who have a comfortable life, who have more wealth, and even they can give it in charity, who have all of these things. There will always be people who have more. But if we really think about this, all of creation, that this is Allah's world, and we have this enormous opportunity. We're brought into this world for a short time. You know, it's like someone invites you, someone has a beautiful home, and they invite you, come on in. Come on into my house. And you say, look at all of these things. What a wonderful beautiful place. And there's interesting things to do, and there's an amazing library, and you can go and sit in their library and read their books, and then go out in their garden. They've got an amazing garden, and you go and you wander around, and you smell the flowers, and you enjoy the sunshine, and maybe there's a pool, and you go for some. Oh, you would be so grateful to that person. And when they would say, when you realize that it's time to go, you say, okay, time to go. I've had my chance in here. It's to have faith means that we have a different perspective on our travel and our movement through this life. And of course there are challenges. Would you ever watch any movie and think any movie is good if there weren't challenges, if the characters weren't challenged? It would be so boring. Any game that you would play with no challenges, if there wasn't something a little thrilling, a little risky. I mean, all this world is established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and created for us so that we can grow. We grow by through challenges. We go by taking some risks. We grow by pushing ourselves beyond what we thought we can do. Subhanallah, faith gives us many fruits. We believe in Allah, we believe in the messengers, we believe in the books. Why are we fasting this month? Only because we believe in what the messenger brought us, this holy Quran, this book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why we're fasting. If we didn't have faith, we wouldn't do it. And we know we wouldn't do it because how many of us fast once, twice, three times a week, a couple times a month, the rest of the year? We do it because we believe this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, transmitted to us by the Messenger of Allah, and we do it. And we may have a little bit of anxiety before Ramadan during this time of the year when Ramadan is in these very long days. We think, oh, it's going to be tough. Am I going to be able to do it? Yet here we are, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, many of us have been able, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fast. And for those of us who are unable, we found opportunities to do other things. So to be presented, faith allows us to believe that these challenges are going to bear some fruit. If it were up to me, I would definitely not think that fasting during a long, hot month, you know, rationally, is that really the best thing? Is that really the best thing for a person? Aren't there other ways to be challenged and would be good? I know I never would have come up with this. But we do it because we believe it. We believe it, and it is our faith, even though we may feel a little anxious, we may not rationally understand it, but then, because of faith, we do it. We have faith in Allah, and we have faith in the message that the Messenger has brought to us, that we are going to fast this month. And how do we feel by the end? We feel light. Our soul feels light. We feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're aware. We have the taqwa that is the goal of this month. We have a little bit more. Subhanallah. Faith comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not take any credit for it. We do not take any credit for it. No person will have faith except by Allah's permission. But when we have it, we have to hold on to it. And we hold on to it by doing the things that our faith tells us that we know when we have faith in Allah and the Messenger, the Quran and the books, that we know we should do. That's how we hold on to that faith. And that's so important. That's why we have to follow these commands. And that is the link between deeds, actions, and faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, O you who have attained faith, remember Allah with unceasing remembrance. Dhikran kathira, اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا. Remember Allah with lots of constantly. This keeps the faith in our heart. This binds the faith in our heart. And in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, to keep remembering, and that will bind this faith in our heart and make it close and not let it slip away. And to follow all of the other commands, to speak the truth, to be just, and not just to those who you like, but to all people. To uphold justice, to fulfill our covenants, to not break our word, to not violate the trust of people. All of these are things we do, even in difficult circumstances, because we believe. And the fruit will be certainly for other people in this sense, because sometimes it might be better, you know, it might make us attain our goals, our worldly goals, more quickly if we violate these, if we are dishonest, if we break our word, if we violate some of the norms that have been established, we can quickly attain things. And by doing that, hurt others. So our faith benefits others certainly if we follow these commands. And we know that it's good for us, not in the sense that we judge necessarily, that in terms of our worldly priorities, by following the commands of faith, that we'll be better off in this life. Because on a spreadsheet, it might not be that case. But what's miraculous and amazing, and what is promised to us, is that in fact, we're probably going to have both benefits, which is not only that we have the benefit of following the commands, but also we will see that by staying within these limits, that we will have a better life. Because while there may be short-term benefits of violating the commands and the limits that are set by Allah, in the end, they will usually trip us up. That over the long term, sooner or later, being dishonest, being untrustworthy, making, you know, unethical deals behind people's backs, all of these things eventually will catch up to us, and we see that. So it benefits our own sense, ability to assess what is good for us and what is not good for us is really skewed and is very deficient. Allah created us and knows what is best. And we will feel that over the course of our lives. We will see the wisdom of it eventually, inshallah. One of the greatest fruits of faith is that we know who we are as human beings. People are filled with identity, you know, problems. Who am I? Who am I? You know, what is my purpose in life? This sense of so much despair comes from not knowing one's purpose, feeling disconnected, lost, directionless, at sea, not knowing what to do, where to go, and who am I? And because of that feeling of being disconnected and not understanding essentially who one is, that is why it becomes so easy for people to be attracted to false identities. Say racist identities, white supremacism, or some form of identity that denigrates others, some form of identity that is very oppressive or that is exclusive. We are a group that is better than any other human being. There are many different forms of supremacy. But our faith tells us who we are and what our purpose is, that we are servants of God. and children of Adam. Servants of Allah gives us our purpose to worship, to obey, to follow this path that has been set for us. In this life, who are we to each other? Well, the children of a man are siblings to one another. We know that we are, as Banu Adam, it means we're brothers and sisters in humanity. No matter what a person's faith or belief or color or culture or age or gender is, we are all brothers and sisters in humanity. And that means that as brothers and sisters in humanity, I don't have to be with a certain kind of people who have my same culture, background, skin color, eye color, in order to feel that I'm with my people. No. All of these are brothers and sisters. There are many people who feel displaced when they go somewhere else. They feel uncomfortable. Who are these people? They're so essentially different. Our faith tells us that's not true. We are essentially the same, from the same stock, from the same brothers and sisters. And that's a huge fruit of faith. It is why we find Muslims all over the world. A Muslim doesn't belong only in the so-called Muslim world. Right? This whole earth has been made a masjid for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran links the karama, the dignity of human beings, with travel and movement across the earth to escape oppression or to seek livelihood, you know, to be able to support oneself. That is part of our human dignity. So we are never lost. We are never lost on this earth. We belong on this earth wherever we are. We should not feel lost and disoriented and out of place as if there is something called a Muslim world that we all belong in. No, this is Allah's world. This is Allah's world, and as Muslims, we belong wherever we are. And we know that we've ended up where we are through the qadr of Allah, because this is a pillar of faith. That all of this has been destined, and we have a purpose here. We know we have a purpose. We know we have a purpose. And there are many things that are set out for us right there. We have our acts of worship, our purpose as spiritual beings, and we have our required actions to enjoin the good and to prevent evil and oppression, to help people who are being oppressed, to feed the hungry, to accompany and be present with the lonely, to visit the sick and stay beside them, to be kind and loving to children, to be respectful and helpful to elderly. We have a very, very clear purpose in this life. And that is the most amazing and sweet fruit of faith. Because there is no state that is more distressing for human beings than to feel that they have no purpose, that there is no meaning to their life. Every one of us has been ordained with a purpose and with tasks that we should fulfill if we are able to, individually and in community. And this is, you know, if you have faith, you will never be sitting around thinking, I don't know, there's nothing for me to do. Right? There's always something for us to do. There's always something for us to do, both in terms of acts of worship and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all we have to do is open our eyes and look around, because we are responsible for caring for each other. There's always something to do. We have a purpose, each one of us. Now, of course, again, some people would say, well, if that's the case, if faith, you know, bears these fruits, why is it that so many Muslims are unhappy and not helpful and are separated from each other? One of the beautiful things that we learn through our faith, because we have faith in Allah's book, and Allah's book tells us this, gives us a very realistic picture of humanity. So we do have these high aspirations. We do have a clear path, but you know what? We don't always do what we know we should. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taqulun ma la taf'alun. Oh, you who believe, oh, you who have faith, you have faith, why are you not doing what you say you should do? Why do you say something? Oh, we believe in this, we're going to do this, but you're not doing it. So one of the beautiful things about the Quran is that at the same time that Allah sets out for us this purpose in life and orients us in this creation and tells us all different things that we should do, at the same time Allah reminds us that many of us will not do that, that we will fail, that we will be weak, that we will slip, that we will violate Allah's commands. It is a realistic picture of humanity. And that's really important, because one of the things that happens is that people misunderstand the goals and the purposes that we have with as if it's a description of the reality of the community. It's not. Those are two different things. Right? When Islam says, or Allah says, or we as Muslims, we say, we believe in this. Yes, we believe in this. And this sets out our purpose and our goal and what we should strive for. But this is not a description of the reality of this life, because this life is a place where we struggle to meet those goals, where we struggle to fulfill those purposes, where we struggle to you know, overcome our selfishness to do what we know we should do. So it's really important that we don't set ourselves up for failure, to be disillusioned, thinking that this life is a utopia. It's not. And that is part of what we believe in our faith. We have this life and we have the next life. And in this life, we are struggling. And sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. And that is a realistic depiction of humanity. And that is one of the fruits of faith. One of the fruits of faith is understanding that and accepting that, and that makes us not then give up and feel hopeless and feel like, why am I, you know, why are we even doing this when we haven't really done what we said we were going to do? Disillusionment. Right? Our faith does not mean that we believe that people should be perfect or can be perfect, or that this world is a place of perfection. Our faith tells us Allah is perfect. Allah is perfect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the capacities and the resources to strive to be better, to strive in the path of those who are perfect, the perfect messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow his path. That is where perfection is, and we strive to follow in that path. And that is a big protection for us, to understand and to know and to have faith in this message that tells us that we will fail. Because how many people are there, good people, people who believe in justice, people who fight for justice, who fight for the poor and the weak, but they don't believe in God. And they fall into deep, deep, deep despair, because they believe that there is only the plane of this life. And that if they are unable, if they personally, them and the people they're working with, their allies, are incapable of making this world into a place of supreme justice and peace, then what is the point? But we believe something different. We believe we should strive for these. And we must work, but we know that we'll never reach perfection. So we have this beautiful balance between striving and realism. Striving and realism. And knowing that we are required only to do the best we can. Really the best. Try to do what we can. And when we fail, we have an opportunity to repent. And when we give in to our selfish desires, we turn back to Allah and Allah will forgive us. And when our heart gets rusty, failing to remember Allah and falling into sin, there are ways to clean that rust and get back to that state of a soft heart. Faith grounds us. Deeply grounds us in this creation. It gives us a common and a noble and foundational identity. When we look around today and we see how many people are filled with anger and bitterness and resentment and hatred towards others, it is because they don't know where they want value. They want to be valued. They want respect. They want to feel that they're people with dignity, but they look in these false places to get it. They don't understand that this only comes from Allah. And if we seek it from others, if we seek our dignity and our nobility from others, and we're seeking praise, we're seeking superiority, we're seeking positions of privilege, we will certainly never be fulfilled and we will certainly trample on others. So our faith grounds us and orients us in a sense of being people who do have value, but that value is there no matter who, what anyone says, no matter what actions others take against us, no matter if the world recognizes any value in us or not. I'm not saying it's not painful to experience discrimination. It is painful. It's painful to have people mock you or make fun of you or your family or your community or how you look. It's not easy to bear that. We feel that. We're human beings. Yet we know that no matter what anyone says, our value does not come from the recognition that others make of us, from the praise that others give us, from how status and position and value is assessed by any others. Our value only comes through our Lord and our Creator. That is the only value that counts. That is the only status that counts. That is the only dignity that counts. And that gives us enough, inshallah. That should give us enough to be able to manage. Certainly, it's painful, can be frustrating, can be frightening sometimes, yet we know who we are. We know each one of us is a beautiful, valued creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has inviolability, who has the right for that dignity and to be respected no matter what anyone says. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the trumpet of the hour sounds and you have a seedling in your hand, then plant it. You know, we've heard this and we know that it means that we continue to have hope even in dark times, and that we continue to take action to do good things for the long term, even when it seems very difficult. It is psychologically, I think, it is the opposite of learned helplessness. You know, anyone who's taken a basic psychology course knows about learned helplessness, right? About these horrible scientists when they put animals in cages and you know, they try to do something to get out of their situation, and no matter what they can do, just random things happen to them, random shocks, and they become so depressed and they don't even fight for themselves anymore. They don't even try. They don't even try to survive. This idea that, you know, a creature who feels that they're just at the whim of random forces that have no rationality, that have no meaning, that no matter what they can do, they can't improve their situation. We have the opposite. Faith gives us the opposite. Faith gives us that confidence that what we do, when we do it with sincerity, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is good. And even if we don't see any fruits in this life, and even if there aren't any fruits for generations, and maybe not ever in this life, still sincerely doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a purpose, because it brings us closer to Allah. Just doing it brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is our purpose in life. So there is no futility in what we do, as long as we do it with love and sincerity and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the only empowerment there is. The basic desperate state of humanity comes out of a deep realization that most people try to cover up, which is that in the end, we are not in control of this life. And so people try to exert power over others to feel powerful. Why do people oppress others? In order to feel a sense of power. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We know that we have no true power, but this does not mean we are without resources. It doesn't make us feel helpless, because we know that we are relying on the source of power. That when we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have tawakkul, this is the ultimate power. And that all that we need to do is to do our actions and turn ourselves and our hearts, not only actions, but our hearts sincerely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are connected with the only real power. And so we don't need to find these other ways of feeling like we have some kind of control and strength. My time is ending. Let me just say that, you know, I've talked a lot tonight about struggles, about hardship, about sadness, but happiness is also a fruit of faith. We are not to be in this life, you know, a person of faith should not be walking through this life with a grimace and just feeling that everything is hard and horrible. If that's the case, I think that may be the result of some incorrect teaching. Because unfortunately, sometimes the way people talk about our religion, it leads to hardship on people, and they lay burdens that are not right. You know, people shouldn't be carrying around heavy burdens. It is the job of all of those who are encouraging others in their faith to besharu, to give good news, to make people hopeful and happy, to yesaru, to ease the state, you know, to make things, to lighten the burden of people. So if, well, it is inevitable that we will undergo hardships and difficulty, and our faith, you know, we're holding on to our faith and our trust in Allah during that time, our life should not be characterized by a feeling of being burdened. We should have joy and we should have happiness. And we should enjoy the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for our enjoyment in this life. You know, without tasrif, without excess, and without overstepping others, but to have happiness and to have joy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have attained faith, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, do not deprive yourselves of the good things of life which Allah has made lawful to you, but do not transgress the bounds of what is right. Right? So, لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم. Don't forbid the things that are good. And as long as they don't lead us astray, we should enjoy them and we should have happiness. It is joy and happiness that our faith should give us. It should give us confidence. It should give us ease from anxiety. Should give us a sense that we do have some resources to find our way, even when things are very troubled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have attained faith, if you remain conscious of Allah, He will endow you with a standard by which to discern the true from the false. Not that we establish what is right and wrong, but that we will have, if we have faith, we will, and we turn our hearts to Allah, we will be given some judgment, right? Some basic, reliable judgment about right and wrong. So we shouldn't feel, oh, I don't know, you know, I have to go every time and look something up. No, if we have a good basic knowledge of Islam, and with complicated things we turn to experts and we ask for advice, but we shouldn't feel that we have no resources. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will direct our hearts to have a basic sense of how to do something beneficial for people and how to ease their difficulty and to recognize when there are clear harms that we should avoid and we should help others avoid as well. We should be joyful, we should be happy. We know that, of course, the ultimate happiness is awaiting us, and that is something that eases our heart. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also promised that those who we've lost in this life, those from our family who we miss, you know, all those who went before us, that if they have faith, that we will be reunited with them as well. It gives us ultimate hope for the future. It's difficult to be parted from those who we love, whether it is in this life, they're in another country, or in another city, or we're parted from them because they have gone ahead of us in their death. But we know that this is a temporary separation and that inshallah we will be reunited again with them in the shade of Allah's mercy, out of Allah's love and compassion. We have that faith, and that in the end there is a beautiful end, and that while we are limited and constrained in this life, that this is not our ultimate home, and that we will go to a place, inshallah. I ask this for all of you and for myself and for all of our families and for our communities and all of our loved ones who have gone ahead of us and those who will follow us, that we will be in that state of bliss and joy and happiness, laughing and reunited in a place of eternity and love and beauty. And that is the ultimate fruit of faith. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us blessings in this holy month and in this special night. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering that we have here today, to send the angels to accompany us in our prayer and our remembrance, to make all of our actions this month, all of our striving, to accept all of our fasting, our prayer, our Quran, our patience, our cooking for friends and family, our acts of charity, to accept all of these. We ask Allah to forgive us for any mistakes, failings, shortcomings we've had in this month. We could have done more. We ask Allah to let us learn from that and grow and be better next year, next Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our faith, to never let it slip away from us, and to give us guidance of all of the things we should do, to prompt us to remember Him constantly so that we hang on to this faith and we are able to direct us to know and love and follow in the path of His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is our model. We ask all of this, Ya Allah, in this month of Ramadan, and Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.